share the word tonight. It's been a really wonderful thing to work on here today, and yesterday, and the day before. We've been listening to a Ken Petty seminar about our identification with Christ. And he's really taught a very simple yet deep teaching about our identification with Christ. And it got me into reading some things about Jesus Christ. If we have Christ in us, we have the same capabilities that Jesus Christ had. And I don't know about you, I know about me, and I'm sure I can rise up to greater things that I've done in my life, that's for sure. And looking at the example of Jesus Christ in the Word, which I've done this before from many different angles, doing it in light of my identification with Jesus Christ has really opened up my eyes to some things that I'm beginning to understand about our brother in Christ and about his, not only his wisdom, but his love, his compassion, and his desire to do his Father's will. And I'm sure all of us listening and understanding some of these things from God's Word have that same desire. And if that same desire is in us, then God has given us the ability to do the things that Christ can do and did. I thought it was really cool to be able to understand it in a deeper way than I ever have before. So I started looking up things. Tonight, we're going to look at a few of the miracles that Jesus Christ performed. You know, ministering to people and helping God's people entails a lot of different things. But one of the major things is that we listen to God and we don't doubt to do what he's asked us to do, just like Jesus Christ didn't doubt the Father. So let's go to John chapter 2. We're going to look at some healings that he did. In fact, the one we're going to look at first, John 2 verse 1, is the first healing that he did ever. So we're going to start in verse 1. Actually, we're starting in verse 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2-3 firkins of peace. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doeth set forth wine, and when we have drunk well, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. One of the interesting things I looked up and started to read about is I asked myself, why was it such a big deal? You know, they saved the bad wine till the end, and the good wine now, Jesus Christ has turned it around and did it the opposite. And I realized there is a transformation from the Old Testament that was talked about, that Jesus used 6 stone water jars meant for Jewish purification rituals. See, he didn't just change the water into wine. There was a reason God had him do this. And he changed the water into wine for the Jewish purification rituals. That's the jars that were meant for that. By replacing the water with the wine, he symbolized the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the law, and the inauguration of the New Testament, grace and the forgiveness of sins. I thought, man, what? Think about that. Jesus Christ knew what was going to come. And his first miracle that God had him do was to proclaim that prophecy from the Old Testament, to lay it out there so God's people could know. What a great, what a great miracle. And there was a lot more than one part to it. So let's go to John 4, chapter 4, verse 46. And we're going to see some really cool things that Jesus Christ did. And in listening to these and seeing the Word of God that we're looking at, I want you to remember who you are in Christ. I want you to remember that whatever God asks us to do, we are capable of doing. And we can do the same works he did because of what he did and what God did by raising him from the dead. And what we do, any born-again believer from Romans 10, 9, and 10, we get born again because of those verses. When we believe that and confess it, we become filled with that Spirit, the same Spirit that God had in Jesus Christ so that he could do the things God asked him to do. God has put that same Spirit in you and me. And, you know, I know we all know this for the most part, but I don't know about you guys. As I get older and look more into the Word, it amazes me that we have such a loving God and have such a privilege to minister to other people and to share the spoken word of God with other people. It is amazing. It is amazing what he's enabled us to do. The same things that Jesus Christ did, we could do. If God told us to turn water into wine at a wedding, at a birthday party, or whatever, and we truly locked our hearts in with God, and in strength we had the faith, we could do it. It's just a great thing. So verse 46, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, this guy went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Jesus Christ challenged him right there. And the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then he inquired of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole household. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee. Jesus challenged the man, but the man had faith and believed, and his son was saved, and his whole family believed. There is so much in that point right there, in that happening, of how Jesus Christ took one man's believing, challenged it, And the man rose up, and his faith increased, and his miracle became a living reality. And his whole family turned out to be believers. Let's go to Mark 1, Book of Mark, chapter 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered Jesus Christ, entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. He knew who he was. Do we understand and know who we are? That's the question tonight. I know I have, with the seminar we've been going to, I have really started to see some great things in the Word that I become more, I've picked up more understanding from it. And we need to know who we are in Christ. We need to really have that identification with Christ to understand the heart of that man, because that's the heart that lives within us. And he was in their synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" The spirits knew who he was. "Art thou come to destroy us?" Dumb question. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." He didn't deal with trying to prove the guy or talk the guy out. He just commanded that the guy come out. And the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice. He came out of him. And they were all amazed, those around that watched this and heard this, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Even the unclean spirits knew who he was, and they had to obey him. We have that same ability. We have that same power living within us. Part of what we really need to grasp and grow in every day is knowing who we are, believing God has made us to be Christ-like with that spirit he put in us. And the things that he asked Christ to do, we could do. Whatever God requests out of us, we have that ability to do it. It's amazing. I mean, I've been in the Word, God, I'm giving my age away here. I took the class here in Norman in 1973. So it's been a few years. And I'm still learning with all the information I've had available to me through the years. There are times that I still have to really grab my head and say, look, it is Christ in you. God is not asking you to do anything you can't do, Vicki, so do it. And you know what? A lot of that kind of stuff is just the everyday things of forgiveness and kindness and love, unconditional love one to another. That is such an amazing thing about the Spirit of Christ. As you look at, and we look at and read these sections of the Word, and there's many more in the Word than this, you see his compassion. You see his love. You see his ability to turn from what was happening to himself and do and bless the people that God put before him. It's an amazing thing that spirit lives with us, guys, right in our hearts and lives. And we just got to keep our minds focused on God and his word. Mark chapter 1. I'm going to read a couple more here. Chapter 1, verse 30. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. Anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately They didn't even speak to it, but immediately the fever left her and she ministered unto them. He didn't even have to cast it out. He didn't have to tell the fever to go away. He touched her and immediately it left. Now that didn't just take his believing, that took hers too. But man, and then she ministered to him. She actually made him dinner. You keep reading in the Word what she did. Look at Matthew chapter 8. They were probably all hungry from a busy day, huh? Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. No hesitation. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, he do this, and he does it. Then Jesus, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, always teaching, wasn't he? Always giving. Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. That is a very powerful saying, you guys. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children, the sons of the kingdom, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same self hour. The children of the kingdom is a reference in this context, which means the unfaithful or unbelieving Jewish people of the air. He's talking about the Jewish people that rejected him. That's who he's talking about, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast in the outer darkness. Jesus Christ knew what was going on, and he knew what was coming. Let's look at Luke chapter 8. And yet he continued to work among the people, to live among the people, to minister to them, to teach them God's word, to love them, to embrace them, to encourage them. What a great example we have to look at through the word, and then to know that that's the spirit that lives inside us. It's just like really amazing. Let's go to Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 41. Got to do a couple more here. 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. You know what? Jesus Christ went, and he ministered healing to this girl. And most of us understand and know about this section, this teaching here. And she was delivered. And he had to put people out of the room, remember? He had to put people out of the room because they said she was dead. Get out of here. It's over. He didn't listen to that. He listened to God. And he did what God showed him to do. So Luke 8:43, we'll go down there, and it says, Luke 8:43. You guys there? And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. It dried up. She believed that if she could just touch his garment, she could be delivered. And she was. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? I mean, there are thousands, probably, people all around following him. And Peter's like, and you asked me who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Wow. That took a lot of courage on her part, didn't it? And look how he handles it. You know, and he said, I felt it leave me. It's not like he didn't know what was going on. And he said unto her, Daughter, man, that when I read that, that right there, and he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Our identification with Christ is so valuable and so important in our lives. We need to look at the things that he did, how he said it, why he said it, the circumstances around what he did, so that we can have our faith grow. I know mine's not at its peak, and I just want to do God's will. I want to minister to the people God puts in front of me. I want to speak the word to people. I want to be able to be who I have been called to be, which is that Christ in me, whenever God calls on me. And Jesus Christ walked in such love and compassion for people. You know, he did not hesitate. He did not hesitate when people reached out to him. Let's look at a couple more. Luke chapter 22. Verse 50. Now this is the last one we're going to do. This is the last miracle he performed before he was crucified. And it's an amazing account of love, compassion, and faith in God. Let's start in verse 22. And one of them, now they've come and taken him on the road, okay? They're going to get ready to go crucify him. And he knows all this. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now we know Peter is the one who did that. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed the man. This is a soldier getting ready to drag him to probably part of the group that beat him and tore his clothes off and nailed him to the cross. This was that group of men. And yet, he had the love, the compassion, and the determination to be who God had called him to be. And forgive, and not only forgive, but reach down and heal this guy's ear. I tell you, that is a very powerful spirit that lives within us, guys. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hand against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. He knew that he had to do this, that the power of darkness had to have his say. And then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter afar and followed afar off. You know, you guys, there's so much more examples we could do, but Marnie said I can't teach that one. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. In the Word, there's so many other examples of his healing. But I picked these because I really felt like his love, first and foremost for God, and his love for God's people, even when they were deep in sin and had not yet learned how to be obedient to God or how to really understand the world they lived in. It's not like they had a Bible like we do, you know? But they had Jesus Christ there for a moment of time. And now we have him living within us, thousands, millions of us. And we can love the same way he did. We can be confronting when we need to be, but it's always done for a purpose, with love and with concern for that other person's life. So I wanted to look at some of these things with you because the class on our identification with Christ that Ken Petty did, and we're running on Thursday nights here at the house, just kind of reminded me and helped me to see that it doesn't matter how long you've been in the Word. What matters is you do the Word. And every day is a victory. It's a victory for God. It's a victory for our Lord and Savior. And it's a victory for each other and ourselves. When we walk with that confidence and that trust in God that we are who he says we are, we can be who he says we can be. That's that thing Barney says all mm-hmm. the time. We will do what God tells us to do because we love him and we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what a great example from the scriptures we have to look at to know how to do that. I mean, if we took every verse we looked at tonight and went to the church epistles, let's say Ephesians chapter 4, the last verse there, and be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Do you think it took great tenderness for Jesus Christ to do some things to minister to some of these people along the way? Absolutely. And when we look at the scriptures and we see that verse, we see Ephesians and how we're supposed to forgive each other. Forget it. Get past it. And to love unconditionally to one another, to give to each other when we can and when God shows us to. It is an amazing ability that lives within us. And, you know, I really suggest if you want to sharpen up on this or remind yourself or however you want to put it, go to the church epistles, especially the book of Ephesians. You start reading that and everything that we talked about tonight gets exposed again by the believers that lived during that time. So I love you guys. Thanks for calling in, and God bless.